Hello, everyone. Welcome to this Christmas episode of our weekly podcast, Flats and Shanko. We missed a week last week. Very sorry about that, but Christmas calling, wasn't it? Things to do.
Oh, people were going mad, weren't they? People were going mad on blimmin' social media, weren't they, about us missing a week.
What are you doing? Oh. Where have you gone? Have you finished?
Steve from Modbury. Where's the pod, guys? That was about the only one. But apart from that, people went blimmin' mad.
Wayne from Winnersh.
Gary from Gwent.
Tim from Taplow.
Chester from Chester. Here we go. Anyway.
Merry Christmas, one and all.
Hey, a Merry Christmas to you, fella. First time we've really communicated properly since the big day.
We've had the odd time. Nice time? Yeah. It's not about me, is it? It's like your wedding day, mate. It's not about you. It's about your wife and the kids. And they seem to enjoy it. They did seem to enjoy it. Who doesn't like?
Well done.
Who doesn't like a hoop and a stick? No one.
No one. Absolutely no one. What did you cook? I presume you cooked because you're a cook, aren't you?
I'm a chef.
Sorry.
A proper one. I cooked a turkey. Funnily enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it good?
Yes, it was actually. I ordered it from M&S. Because, you know, like special occasions, you shop at M&S, don't you? I'm normally a convenient man, really. So Tesco's round the corner. But big days like this, you want to impress your family, your 10-year-old and 7-year-old child. So I got
Pembrokeshire
organic grass-fed turkey from M&S.
Good boy. How'd you cook it?
I cooked it upside down for the first hour, then turned it round and then cooked it. You know, standard, I would say.
How'd you turn it round?
I used gloves.
Filthy gloves after that.
Well, I got given these quite cool oven gloves for my birthday off Andrew Nicholson because he reckons I putt with oven gloves on when I play golf. Because my putting's terrible.
Yeah.
And these have got like a protective shield. So it's not like a, it's not done, it's not by fabric, it's like a plastic coating.
Good to know.
Yeah, so I turned around with that and then cooked it. Had a put the old internal temperature thermometer inside it.
Yeah.
165 degrees out. Rested it upside down for a bit, so I let the juices flow through the breast. And then carved, served. What about you? Did you?
Good stuff.
Did you?
Yeah.
Slow cook it, smoke it, and it was the best turkey the kids have ever had, like last year.
Yeah.
Knew it. Was it just
as exactly
good?
The same as last year?
Was it just as good?
Yeah, it's really not difficult. I did it on the Traeger, the old wood pellet smoker, digital wood pellet smoker. Very, very good.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them. A lot of boys use them. I know Hask uses one.
I'm the OG though, mate. I'm original. I've had one for years. They're all buying into it now. But it's our kid, isn't it, that's shown him the way. That's the reality.
A bit like Field and Flower. I've recently put an order through. It came yesterday. There was a Flats and Shanks promo code, which was Flats and Shanks. And it's all arrived, all boxed up, all fresh, all cold. They put loads of ice pack coolers in there. DPD delivered it and whacked it in the fridge, whacked it in the freezer. Looks delicious.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, I'm into it.
But the turkey was great. You were the originals on that as well, weren't you?
I mean, years. I've been buying meat from them for years, boy.
I'll tell you what you're not an original on. That is Brogue trainer shoes. Because Nick Mullins is the original on that.
And Nick Mullins beat me there.
And you copied him.
Nick Mullins beat me there.
You wear the same shoes a 70-year-old wears. Is he 70? But he's not far off.
No, Nick is 50.
He's not far. Wow. Where's your cut-off point, mate?
He's cooler than you. He's always better dressed than you and me anyway. So I think there's something to be said for copying Nick. I did the older Jamie Oliver, a bit unoriginal, but I did the Jamie Oliver goose fat smashed potatoes. Not smashed, but kind of slightly mashed. Yeah, and they were, I must say, fella, they were excellent.
I knew you were going to say that.
I just did exactly what you said.
I've not cooked a Jamie Oliver recipe that wasn't good. I'll say that now.
I also did sprouts with parmesan.
Okay.
It's Parmesan roasted sprouts, and the kids ate sprouts for the first time ever. I tried the whole bacon thing, super sweet, lovely. All that didn't work. Never worked. This year, roasted with Parmesan.
Mate, what's the they point of sprouts? Though? What's the point of sprouts? They only come out.
I love them.
They only come out.
I love
Christmas. Them. If people love sprouts, like okay, you love them. You love oysters. You love anything different.
Yeah.
Then they'd be available all year round. Now, I know they're available all year round, but no one really has sprouts. No one really has sprouts apart from Christmas. So they can't be that nice.
Speak for yourself.
They can't be that nice.
Speak for yourself.
I'm speaking for the public, mate.
Why don't you ask me if I have sprouts year round?
You don't eat veg. I know that.
Why don't you ask me if I have sprouts all year round?
I know the answer, so I don't want to ask.
No, I don't. No, I don't. One day a year. Turkey too. You should cook more turkeys, really. They're really nice.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree.
But it's easy to dry out a turkey, but it's actually reasonably easy not to. I also did... just trying to make the kids like vegetables a bit more because they eat them, but I'm still 10 years later,
fun.
I'm still trying to force my kids to eat vegetables. It's so boring. So just did roasted carrots, roasted in brown sugar. Really, really nice.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe
so
a little bit of honey
fall
on
out,
top.
But ate some carrots. But their teeth are falling out now, but they did eat some vegetables a few days ago, so it's good news.
But they've got good bowel movement, so, you know.
That's it.
It's give and take,
That's
isn't it?
That's it, boy.
I do have to mention this, Flats. I mean, we did a video for this guy for his wedding. It's a little bit embarrassing we didn't get invited to it, but James Metcalf got married, okay? He married his sweetheart, Lucy Cores, and apparently our video was just incredible. It set the scene.
Well,
I've had everyone tweeting me, why aren't you here? What have you done to Mets? But
Mets sent me a video of
couldn't make
him...
It.
Him with a shirt undone, tie around his head, singing that "This Is Me" song.
Swing,
I think it's
the
Greatest Showman or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he had his he's such a rugby nerd that he had his a waistcoat made with 10 on it and an England rose. And
there's no way he's a number 10. Someone's got a Sharpie and put a zero next to the one. I mean, he's loose head all the way. He's Genji, isn't he? He's the body shape of Genji. He's not quite big enough for a tight. But he still is a little bit mobile and he wears pred, so he's certainly a loose.
He is. Yeah. He is. Look, he's only a fly half if he plays against 50-year-olds.
Goody, sorry.
But then I could be a fly half. I could be a fly half in that game.
Yeah, I agree.
But no, he looked like a raucous wedding. He was doing a hell of a performance. He sort of looked like a rock star at a concert when I watched the video. But congrats to him. The reality is, Tommy, we didn't get invited. But would you have wanted to go to a wedding between Christmas and New Year?
He promised me that we would 100% get invited to the second wedding. Okay.
So yeah, absolutely.
We'll have to wait.
They're always better anyway. There's always better food at the second one because you learn, don't you?
Yeah.
But I just think, like, would I want to get out of my pyjamas and go to a wedding in between Christmas and New Year? I'll level with you. The answer's no.
Well, I don't mind. I am going to the darts next year between Christmas and New Year.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm doing it. It's incredible. It's incredible. I just want to go. I say it every year, and I'm going to book it like as soon as tickets become available. Ali Pally. And I don't want to be sat at the back, you know, in the stand seats. I want a table seat. And
you're going large, you?
I want to dress up. And I'm thinking, my thinking is, now, I'm torn, so I'd like to know the listener's opinion on this. Do I go to the afternoon session or do I go to the evening session? Now,
fella,
my thoughts are, with the afternoon session, we can all go as cardinals, monks, whatever. And then we can go back to the hotel, get changed, night out in town, in London. The big apple, right? Or you go and have an afternoon bevy, and then you go to the darts in the evening. But then after the darts in Ali Pally, nothing's going on, so you've got to be home by 11. Now, I know what your option would be, because you like your sleep.
I like a good night's sleep, don't I?
Yeah. You're not so much into the partying anymore, which is strange, because back in the day, when you went between the ages of 19 and 23, you owned Eros. I give you that.
Eros Nightclub, North London's premier night spot, 3 years running.
You and your bass shoes and your Patrick Cox and your jumper is lacrosse. Keeps you warm through the cold and frost.
Sleeveless, like, we have tank tops, didn't we? Sleeveless jumpers. Late 90s, mate, that was in. White jeans and a sleeveless jumper, that was in.
Do I go to the matinee or do I go to the evening? That's my...
That's a good... I tell you, just ask Tins. Tins knows. He goes there a lot, I think.
Yeah, okay. Just hope I don't have to do an interview like Graham Souness.
Did what?
I hope I don't have to do an interview when I'm there.
Did Graham Souness do one?
Yeah, he was there watching the darts after one of the games. It was local darts.
Was he smashed?
No, he's all right. He looked like he was oiled. You know, you've got a glow about you.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. It's the healthiest you ever looked, that.
Can I ask you a question? Are there any traditional flatman traditions during Christmas?
Traditional traditions. Yeah, there's still, obviously kids still do stockings. We stopped doing stockings for grown-ups like about 5 or 6 years ago with my parents, but I was like 33 still getting a stocking. Molly I quite coddled. Like that. It just Molly means coddled. More stuff.
Molly coddled.
That's it means more stuff. I like that.
Yeah. Mummy's boy.
Traditions. Yeah, there is actually. Well, with my kids.
Your mum when you hurt yourself.
Yeah. How do mummy? How do I cook bacon? So
I do.
One thing we do is, it's not very adventurous. One thing my kids love to do on Christmas Day is Lego. They love building things and just taking a couple of hours. Christmas songs on, daddy doing lunch, doing building Lego stuff.
Lego's good though, mate, because you know if they're old enough, they can do it themselves. You're not needed. It keeps them occupied. Yeah. You've got an hour to join in, though.
Nice to join in. One thing I really wanted to promote was a Christmas movie. So, right, let's actually watch it. Because although I love telly, I've never watched telly at Christmas, really. And the kids just don't settle to watch a movie. So I was like, right, you can pick a movie. And they're like, right, we want to watch this. It's a 15. No, you're not watching that. So finally settled on Elf with Will Ferrell. Mate, it took 3.5 hours to watch it. In the end, I'm almost annoyed. I'm like, right, everyone sit down and be quiet. It's almost like forced fun. Be quiet and enjoy it.
What was their first option?
Finally got through it.
Aliens. Ridley Scott's Aliens.
First option was like, I don't know, like 21 Jump Street or something. It's like, no, we're not watching that. Or, you know, can watch Ghost. No, can't watch that. It's adult themes.
We watched.
It's fine.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It's a classic. Chevy
Chase. How was that?
The Griswolds. Yeah, it's brilliant. It's really funny.
Will your kids sit and watch it?
Yeah. There's a couple of scenes there where they start swearing. You've got to go, yeah. Sort of raise your voice a little bit or forward it. They enjoyed it. Yeah, they will though. They like the cinema though, and they'll quite happily sit at the cinema. I took them to see the new Star Wars, which I thought was great. Really enjoyed it.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really good as well because there's a girl in it, Rey Skywalker actually, and she is the main Jedi in it or the lead actor.
And what you're saying, she's fit, is that what you're saying?
No, I think it's just great for
kids. Well done. Oh, right. Girl power stuff.
And also, I won't let them watch this, but I have watched the first episode. It's one of three. It's Don't F*** With Cats.
Well, fella, look, you know what I'm like with animals?
Yeah.
You know how you've got no emotions and...
I do.
You read about Saddam Hussein torturing animals when he was a kid, and you're like, it's not ideal. Whereas I'm like, I can't read that anymore, or I'm going to vomit.
Ted Bundy.
Also Saddam Hussein. So I got to about 20 minutes in, and they actually start showing the video of the guy moving towards the kittens on the bed. I'm like, no, off, can't watch it. And then I spoke to Ugo at the weekend, and he's like, they don't show it. And Jack Clifford was there as well at the Queen's game. He was like, Dave, don't show it. You've got to watch it. And Ugo was like, don't even text me when you've seen it. Ring me because it needs talking about. Is it that major? Because apparently when you get to the end, it's like, this is an absolute head freak.
Well, I watched the first episode. They're about an hour long and you don't see anything. I was the same when, I don't spoil it for any listeners, but I had to, you know, on Netflix, I was watching it on the iPad. You can just forward 15 or 10 seconds, can't you? I had to do that. And then I scrolled back with my finger to see if they actually did show it because it would be horrific. But they don't. They just
even
show,
you wouldn't like that.
No, they just show the reaction.
You hate animals.
They just show the reaction of of the people's faces, basically, who are watching it. And
yeah,
it is quite disturbing, but it's actually it's very interesting to watch. I'm enjoying it in a strange way, but I had to actually Google what went on because I'm not going to watch another episode for a few days now, and it would just beat me up inside. So I had to find out if they catch their bugger.
Well, yeah, don't tell anyone because I don't do that. I just let things unfold because I'm grown up.
Yeah.
Well, have you spoken to me since Christmas?
I know she's her hand. She severed a vein or an artery in her hand.
Well, she stabbed herself with scissors and nipped a vein. She didn't sever an artery.
Well, I've told her a million times.
That's a good point. Actually, she's still alive because I haven't heard from her.
Yeah, no, she's okay. She's okay. Luckily,
yeah.
Luckily, her husband is a doctor, so no need to go to an A&E.
Yeah, it's handy, isn't it? That is very handy indeed. Did you get a good present? Don't really get good presents at our age.
I don't want anything, mate. I'd rather everyone spend it on the kids. So I got a few pairs of socks, which I really wanted, and I actually bought myself a coffee machine, another coffee machine.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, I wanted one that was on a timer, so I could wake up to fresh coffee, and it's. It's like
you said it for about 6:15, do you?
Yeah, keeps it warm for a couple of hours, but it's one that sort of drips down.
You put filter coffee.
Yeah. I've lost for words there.
Is it a coffee made?
No.
Oh,
but it's good. I put my Lavazza coffee in the top, set the time, and it drips through into a big thermoflask in the bottom. It wasn't that expensive at all, but. Wonderful in the morning to wake up.
Is it nice coffee?
Yeah, it is. Well, it depends what beans you use or what powder you can. Yeah, you know, you can grind your own beans, or I can't really be bothered. I get the Lavazza coffee packs.
It's like all the lads that have got these wicked espresso machines, and they are really, really cool. But it's like it's just a lot of work, man.
It is, and that's why Nespresso is so good. But I get sick a little bit of the taste of Nespresso. I know you can get different capsules, but it's nice.
Don't
to
say
have
that because G-Man, because G-String Gareth Watley will be listening to this, and he works for Nespresso, and he's never done anything for us. He just takes, doesn't he? On the tickets, free tickets. Can you get me a free ticket? We never hear from him until he needs, you know, free tickets. But you've got to keep him on side in case he can give us some 25p pods for nothing. Actually, no, let's slag him off. He's take. I've started buying my, I got told by someone who likes coffee that the Lidl coffee pods are quite good. Now, you're not going to like it when I say this, but
don't shop in Lidl.
I didn't know where Lidl was.
Stop it.
And I said, unfortunately, there isn't a Lidl in Bath. Enough, and then someone said, yes, there is. It's been here for years.
Enough, that's enough.
No, hang on. I know. But I'm not a snob. I just didn't know where it was. The reason I don't like Lidl and Aldi is partly because loads of their stuff's crap. Also, it's because they haven't got everything you need. And that breaks me. I do not want to go to two shops. I'm not doing that. I go to one shop.
Or a wetsuit. You know, they've got some random stuff.
Yeah.
I like going to Lidl and Aldi because it reminds me of being abroad. Because you don't know what anything is, do you? You don't know what it is.
Like in a Carrefour in France or something.
Yeah.
But the whole notion of, basically, if I'm going to do an hour in a shop, I want to have everything I need when I leave, and I want it to be a reasonably pleasant environment. And I need to get used to it. But anyway, it turned out there is a Lidl in Bath. I didn't know there was, and that is bad for me. But I went there, it's quite a while ago now, so I've known for a while. Got the coffee pods, and now I really like them. Use them all the time.
Do you not like Lidl and Aldi because people spit at you when you're opening your boot from the checkout of your car? Here he is.
Hey, the thing is, I'm not about that. Because I think what is actually cool is to not waste money on going to Waitrose, which is 30% more expensive than everywhere else. I realise going to Waitrose isn't cool, so I don't go to Waitrose either. I went there just before Christmas, and God, it is a lovely place to shop, but I don't go there. I don't care. I want the cheapest shop. I want to go to the cheapest shop, but I just don't want to go. There only be a third of the things I actually want to buy for a big shop. So
I know what you're
saying. I'm not having
it. You want designer goods, discount prices. That's all we want.
Yeah,
you want
like
the
that.
Black Friday, the Boxing Day sales. You watch any movies over the Christmas period? Apart from your
There's no time to watch movies over Christmas. There's no time.
Did you get any good presents?
I got a nice fleece.
Oh, you still wear fleeces, do you?
No, I'm going back to fleeces.
Okay.
I got a really nice fleece.
Okay.
And I got a subscription to Evo Car Magazine, which is my favourite, but my subscription ran out a while ago.
Yep.
I'm still that 15-year-old who reads car magazines front to back.
No, you are good. Any information you want on cars or any advice, you'd be the first port of call.
I love them. I absolutely love them. And Danny Grucock's brother, Ben, and I are semi-relentlessly swapping links to cars online that we're definitely not going to buy.
And
he
saliva.
Might, I'm not,
okay.
And saliva, but we love it. We absolutely love it, fella. So I'm actually in Devon at the moment, and a couple of fields away is a Land Rover that I'm trying to convince someone I know to do up with me so that I can use it in the summers and make it a big Defender 110 with a canvas top, you know, a rag top, get the kids in the back.
Two-tone 525.
So loves it. So yeah, it's an addiction. But no, there's no time to watch films at Christmas. I don't know how anyone finds time to watch film at Christmas. I love it and it's a relaxing time, but there is zero actual time.
Any Christmas drinks been going on?
I quite like a snowball with, it's snowball, isn't it? With Advocar. Quite like that.
No, have you been out with the boys for any Christmas drinks?
Oh, right. Yeah, I did a couple before Christmas, actually. Mm. Went out the Blimmin' Lads, went out with Ollie Barkley, and I stepped out with a couple of other lads into Bath and had a nice little time. Yeah, managed it, and actually had a couple of pints at the Exeter Chiefs game last night with Powley, with Hugh Vivian.
Yes.
And a couple of lads from Gallagher. I saw Chris Mead down there. We didn't actually catch up for a pint, but we had a chat on Saturday at Twickenham and Sunday at Chiefs. You know, Chris Mead, the big dog from Gallagher.
Yeah,
and
he's
Meader, and his lad was there as well. So we had a good
looking
time.
To be an ambassador, are you as well?
No, I'm not an ambassador. No,
no looking. That's no. What I meant, you know,
no, they've signed a long contract with Hugo, Monya, and Nolly. So yeah. I'm not worried about that. Okay. I don't operate like that, boy.
No,
I don't operate like that.
No.
Do you know what? I was talking. This is not interesting, but I was talking to Ben Kay about this in Japan, and there was this big ITV meal, and I was late back to it because I was actually working on the Friday night, late back, and it was like, come and join us, and basically all the big dogs from ITV are there. And I was feeling, I was knackered anyway, and I was commentating the next day, and I was like, I just need to go to bed. And then one of the other guys with me said, yeah, but you've got to go and schmooze for a couple of hours first. And I was like, I'm actually going to put my work first. And I went straight to my room, brushed my teeth, and went to sleep. So I was absolutely knackered, and cream knackered I was. And the next day I said to Ben, I'm just not a very good schmoozer. And he's like, excuse me, you are anything but a bad schmoozer. You are an absolute knack. And I was like, there's a difference. I am friendly and good with people generally, but I am not good at going into a room and thinking I need to talk to him, her and her. Let's target them and let's make them like me. I just can't do it. I can't bring myself to do it. Never have been able to. So you used to go to networking events and there's a list of people you need to talk to this person. I was like, I just can't do it. So I'm much better off if I accidentally meet people.
Okay.
Whereas you are calculated.
No, mate.
Ruthless.
I've got a proper job, mate. Don't need a schmooze anymore.
Well, you say that.
Should we get into some rugby?
Let's do this.
So a couple of Welsh derbies have gone on prior to Christmas. Now, the Dragons beat the Ospreys at Rodney Parade. The weather was absolutely terrible, and the Dragons pitch is okay, but it's not the greatest. You know, it's... Days like that, you need an artificial pitch, basically, if you want to play any rugby, or you need a pitch like...
Hang on, are you suddenly pro-artificial pitches?
Principality or Twickenham or a top-level pitch like that. No,
are you
I'm not.
Suddenly pro-plastic pitches? No,
I'm not.
Right.
But when the weather is this bad, mate, possibly I am edging towards it, okay? Because you want to see quality rugby being played. Now, the Dragons won. It was an actual decent game by the Dragons, and it was a last-minute... dropkick by Sam Davis. Nigel Davis's son nails it with penalty advantage, mind, but nice little run by Ash and Hewitt out of defence to set them up in a bit of territory and a bit of possession. So great win for the Dragons. The Blues went down to the Ospreys and beat the Ospreys, and they've not done that at the Liberty Stadium since 2005. Can you believe that? 14 years they've waited.
Amazing, actually, yeah.
And then the Blues then faced the Dragons on Boxing Day at the Arms Park, which I went down to commentate on with Edward Butler. Wasn't the cracker we thought it would be. The weather came in about half time, and you know what it's like at the start of the game when it's dry, you get quality rugby, you know, passes go to hand, you're not losing the ball in contact. Second half was a bit dour, but still a good win by the Blues. So Jared Evans played really well, but went off, so OP's okay. Josh Adams is quality defensively and an attack. Just
looked good, did he?
Mate, just makes really good decisions. More so, I think, in defence. You know, whether it's jamming in, whether it's staying out, jackling. But also, I always like it when you get, you know, you get wingers coming round on a backs move play, you know, so they're coming round on an arc. And the ones, the quality ones, the ones that just don't mind putting a little bit of boot to ball and just threading it through, you know, they see nothing's on, they put it through. Yeah. You get that with Josh Adams. I just think it's quality. He was good. So it was a decent enough performance by the Blues. And yeah, it's two from two over Christmas time. So can't really fault that. The Scarlets absolutely smashed the Ospreys. Mm. Like, it's bad times down Australia.
It's
at
not
the
going nicely at all, is it?
Not at all, mate. Mike Ruddock's come in. They want to make him director of rugby. Sorry, just before I go back, Shane Lewis-Hughes scored the try after Jared Evans' break for the Blues. And it was a decent try, a decent break. But look, the Ospreys are, I don't know what they're going to do to turn that season around. They need, Scott Williams goes off early, where I was really looking forward, I think he has a cut on his chin, I was really looking forward to Scott Williams up against Hadley Parks. I thought that was going to be a great battle, but
yeah,
didn't quite see it. Ryan Combier on the wing scored a couple of tries, looked really sharp. Still think Stephen Hughes could get a slot in the Six Nations with all the injuries going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, the Scarlets beat Ospreys 44-0. So,
wow,
massive. They're coming up to the Blues on the 3rd of January. That's going to be a huge game. But I just, the only thing that breaks me over this period is the weather. It just has so much an effect on a game. It, you know, you can have two quality teams up against each other, but as soon as the rain comes in, and, you know, the wet rain, mate, the proper wet rain.
It soaks you through.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the fine rain, the wet rain. It just, games, you know, abandoned really. But the Scarlets actually score plenty of tries in real dour conditions. But, mate, I don't know what the Ospreys are going to do. They need George North back fit. Gareth Anscombe, who signed for him, looks like he's not going to play this season. Massive loss.
Yeah, brutal.
At one stage, they were going to merge with the Scarlets until they pulled out about 6 months ago and decided to stay as they are. But
yeah, no more boy.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, we're not sure what's going to go on with them. Okay. I mean, they've got quality players still, but it's just not working.
Well, let's hope Rudders can do a job down there, shall we?
What games were you at?
Yeah, this weekend, fella. So I was at Twickenham, Quinns, Leicester, and I was at Exeter for Exeter Saris. But Friday night, first of all, Wasps last gasp winner against Bristol.
Wow.
It was a really interesting game, actually. Fekitoa did really well. Bristol were pretty porous through the middle. Fekitoa looked lovely through the middle there. I thought Jacob Umanga at 10 had a good game, found a hole and broke really nicely. But
A couple of missed kicks, though, from Umanga.
Yeah, but he tends to do basic things quite well. And I quite like the fact that he's not constantly in the headlines and he's just quietly keeping Lima Sopawanga on the bench and doing
apart
a good job for Wasps.
Kicks. Apart from basic kicks. But he's young.
But do you know what? George Ford, in his first few years of his career missed with quite a few kicks, and Beauden Barrett misses quite a few kicks. It's kind of like, you know, you do need your fly half to be slotting those. However, when you've got Jimmy Gopeth in the 23, there's always a chance you've got another brilliant place kicker there, so you can afford to play him, you know. So I think he looked nice. Launchbury played well. Nizam Carr's try at the end, heartbreak for Bristol. But
what I just want to say, what is Pietau doing there? He just, I don't know whether it's the sort of slight stumble that Nizam Carr has when he's running down the wing that just puts off Pietau, but he should be making that tackle.
Yeah, I agree. And did you see a tackle he made on, yes, I think it was Jacob
Watson.
Who was it, Jacob
Watson.
Marcus Watson. Mm. Oh, my days. Absolutely NFL'd him in the touch. And his, and Pietau's try just to receive that ball and then beat Fekitoa on the outside, yeah, to score was just lush, mate. Absolutely.
How
lush.
Strong does he look in his core? Because Fekitoa, yeah, actually gets close enough to him to make a tackle, but he just powers through.
Yeah, he's a serious player. But yeah, he wasn't perfect on Friday night, but you sort of take that. But that was a really good win.
Jack Willis,
really,
I thought,
really
was brilliant at the breakdown, as was
excellent,
Thomas Young.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Really, really good. And on Saturday, I was at Quinn's Leicester, which was, dare I say, not anywhere near as exciting as the scoreline might suggest. 30-all, 30-30. Hey, 30-30. It should have been outstanding. And there was a bit of jeopardy at the end because, you know, it was so close. But actually, it was not the highest quality game at all. Mm. Leicester, I think, would have been, blown away is the wrong word, would have been reasonably comfortably beaten if Genge, Youngs, Cole hadn't delivered what they delivered. They were monsters in the scrum. Absolutely. And that gave them penalties, field position, points. It just teed them up and kept them in the game. Because Leicester didn't look brilliant otherwise. For, you know, Kyle Eastman is, you know, as you know, one of my faves to watch. Mm. He's great, but he hasn't played since October. And
misses
he and
Marcus
George
Smith, doesn't he? Miss Marcus Smith for Marcus Smith's try, pretty sure. When he just goose steps around the outside, just changes his angle slightly, doesn't he?
Oh, Marcus Smith. Sorry, yeah. I'm thinking of Marcus Watson. Yeah, he does. But do you know what? On the day, and he also gets run over by Lasique for the Quinn's try off the scrum, but He hit Lasique really hard. He properly gave him a head jammer, but Lasique just kept going. He's so big and strong, he got over. But watching Kyle Eastman, the way he defends, it does actually belie his size. I thought he defended really well. He was one of Leicester's best defenders. He just got run over by a much bigger man.
Well, you can't
man,
say
which
that, mate.
Of,
he misses two tackles for two tries.
No, he didn't miss Lasique. He got run over. Mm. He hit him really hard and just got run over. It's not the same. He got physically dominated by a bigger man. Mm. That needed to be a gang tackle. And, you know, I'm sorry, even if you got, you know, Jamie Roberts playing at 12, he's a big, strong man. You want someone else joining in that tackle with 120 kilos running that quick. And especially when you know you've got Kyle Eastman, who's not a big man, you have to make a gang to at least a double hit there. But he defended, but that when he just got done by Marcus Smith on the goosey, and that was, he just got done. But it's almost like, you know, Fekitoa got done by Pietau, something very similar. That doesn't mean he had a bad game, it just means he got done by someone with mega footwork. And Marcus Smith's footwork is just beautiful, like just lovely, lovely. The game was not brilliant. Leicester's front five really kept them in it. Their restarts were terrible, line out was fine. Scrum was outstanding, and they had a penalty advantage when Quinns were a man down, and George Ford produced a moment of magic. Lovely chip, Vianney ran it in. But one thing at the end, I thought the game was, I think both teams didn't seem very happy with the ref, with Matt Carley. I, you know, just personally thought he refereed it really well. But there was a scrum at the end. Leicester were getting scrum pens all day. They hammered a Quinn scrum at the end, and anywhere else on the field or any other time except the last 5 minutes, that would have been a penalty. So it should have been a penalty to Leicester. It wasn't given. But if it is, suddenly it's 30-all. George Ford kicks them to the halfway and they're playing to win it, you know. And you think, well, that, you know, it's just a little thing. But if you're Jordan Murphy and you're in the trouble Leicester are in, then you're thinking that's a major thing. And I think he'd be right if he was aggrieved by that.
Couple of things. I felt sorry for Campagnaro when he went off early. It looked like a serious
injury. Horrible, poor bloke.
Properly distraught. Will Wayne Barnes ever criticise the referee when he's on the sidelines or not?
I don't know. Let's ask him.
It's very difficult, isn't it? For, you know, if Barnes had finished refereeing now, it'd be a lot easier. But he hasn't. He's still the number one ref. And he was agreeing really with a lot of the decisions that were made with Matt Carley. So, yeah, because neither team, you're right, did seem happy with the ref at all, really.
I'm with Barnes on that. I actually thought he did. Well, here's a question for you, Tommy. It's the, you know, rugby pundits, you know, sort of us lot that stand on the, rugby pundits, channels love having current players in there. They love getting a current player in there. But current players don't say anything. And it's not because they're dull, but it's because they can't criticise people they're playing with and against. They just can't do it.
And you can't criticise someone for doing something, then you do it the next week because it looks even worse, doesn't it? I really liked when Ellis Genge went back into sort of the 15 position.
So good, kick running back.
It's like, right, I've not had the ball for a while. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the... I'll take the 15s role. And, mate, like for a big man like that, to have such good footwork before contact is very difficult to do, but he does it.
Yeah.
You know, he's agile.
Because you think he's going to steamroller in, but he's actually got acceleration, footwork, power. Like, he was class. He was class the weekend. He scrummaged really, really well.
But a lot of the
really
players you thought were going to be really busy and industrial weren't really. Gonova was quite quiet, as was Johnny May. But it was still a decent game. It was close, 30 points all. Who's going to be happier with that? Probably Leicester.
They need points more, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
But the Bath game against Sale, thought Bath looked quite good. A couple of late-ish and a couple of late tries from Sale sort of made it a squeaky bum time, but I thought Bath looked good. I thought
Jamie Robertson's pass to the assistant referee was quality. Do you see that?
That was quality. Quality.
It was actually good pass. It was a perfect pass.
It was perfect.
If the touch judge, assistant referee, just kept going, he could have caught that. Why didn't he catch it? He should have just caught it. It would have been so much better.
Well, he wasn't clued in, was he?
No.
But I thought, Priestland looks good at the moment. He's steering Bath nicely, kicking the points. The shape looked decent. Thought it's a decent little win that, because Sale have got quite a lot of firepower.
Yeah.
Beat Saints last weekend. That's a decent little win for Bath, that. Good news for Stuart Hooper, because there's obviously always a bit of pressure in that gig.
Of course.
Worcester against Irish. Irish lost Motu Matutu after 33 minutes.
Yeah,
to a red
I saw
card.
That.
Stupid.
Had to be a red.
Here's one for you.
Yep.
No surprise that they lose. Worcester, I thought, looked great in attack. Duncan Weir, he's having much more fun this weekend than he did last weekend at Gloucester, where they produced nothing in attack almost. Mm. But Alan Dell, Scotland prop,
the Lion.
Very good player actually. Yeah, good signing for Irish. That he's a good player. Good solid boy. He's a man. Sorry, his late shot on Hoohard for the yellow card on the breakdown. He just whistle goes and he bangs him. It is exactly the sort of thing that you could do 10 years ago and can't do now. It is exactly the sort of thing. And you can't be doing that sort of stuff. But when you're flying in and there's a scrum half, the number nine's just sticking up out of a ruck and you're flying in and the whistle goes about a step before you get there, it is really difficult to resist that donut. Mm. It's really difficult to pull out. And he whacks Hoggard. So they were down to 14, then they were down to 13. And it's just like, this is making a hard job even harder. And London Irish have lost their mojo. I mean, hopefully they get it back.
They have,
the last
they?
Couple of weeks, they've looked really poor.
Shadow
really
of the
poor
team they were.
Bath.
Just speaking about number nines, Flatso, obviously Richie Rees is coaching the backs and skills and...
Where?
At the Cardiff Blues at the moment. And they've had a couple of good wins. And you know when someone's had a good game, or the team's doing well, because they all of a sudden have a bit more chat on WhatsApp. And he's been quiet, mate. He's been a shadow of the man he used to be until yesterday, where he pipes up. He's back. He went missing, but he's back now with a bit of banter because the team's doing well.
So predictable, isn't it? You can put it on a postcard.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I text back. Someone's had a couple of good wins. So it's nice to see him back, though, mate, because... You know, he has been missing. He's had no chat recently. He's not got much chat anyway, but at least you feel like he's happy again. So Christmas wasn't cancelled in the Rees household. Northampton, Gloucester, Lewis Rees-Sammet. He has to be involved in the...
Oh, I got told yesterday it's Louis Rees-Sammet.
Oh, is it? Well, people have been saying Lewis.
I know, Louis. But I got told yesterday it's Louis.
Brilliant. You're great with names. Louis Rees-Zammit. Now he's 18. Is he 18 or 19?
18.
18. Is he going to do a George North and just skip the 20s and go straight into the national setup? I think he might. The amount of tries he's scoring at the moment, I think.
Oh, I don't know. I kind of. I know what he'd want to go. He'd want to go straight to Wales, but I almost feel like it's really good for kids, young players to play 21s. And
maybe, but some do skip it. And there's a little bit of a shortage maybe on wingers at the moment. Liam Williams is out. There's a spot possibly. Yeah. Maybe, who knows? But he's certainly playing well, mate. The amount of tries he's scoring is incredible, and that's not just about. You know, being in the right position and just keeping your width and running tries in. You know, he's creating tries. He's scoring wonder tries as well as just doing the basic run-ins as well. So,
I tell you, he was really good for Gloucester. It was Ryan Mark Atkinson.
Okay, yeah.
Our mate from Cheltenham. I called him yesterday on the telly. You won't see it tonight because you'll definitely be watching. I called him a budget Sonny Bill Williams. And I said, I hope he doesn't mind. I'm sure Mark Atkinson is a very high budget himself, but probably not as high as Sonny Bill Williams.
Oh, I know what you're saying. You're not saying he's budget. You're saying that you're getting him for the same price as Sonny Bill Williams. So you're saving
cheaper.
Money.
You're getting cheaper. I'm sure he's probably a bit cheaper than Sonny Bill. But just gets his arms through. Just gets the ball away. Yep. Chris Harris, shoulders lovely. Did Atkinson did so well. He must be a dream to play outside because he gets so much ball away. And I tell you who Northampton rediscovered a bit of their mojo. I tell you who played really well for Northampton. Was Cobus Reinach, a couple of tries, close to his best, and he was in my team of the week until I got to Sandy Park.
Just before you crack into Sandy Park.
I know we're not moving on yet. I know we're not moving on to that yet. I'm just saying.
Hopefully Dan Bigger is okay. I thought Cobus Reinach looked really injured because he had to come on, didn't he? He had to come back on the field, but I think it was just, he was just tired and maybe a little bit of cramp. But just on Mark Atkinson, you're right, though, the way he gets his shoulders through the tackle. But it's also staying tall because you see players that run into contact and all they want to do is go to ground. You know, they're like torpedoes.
See it all the time.
They just want to run through contact. They want to get to ground. But if you stay tall in contact and you're strong enough and you carry the ball correctly, which allows you to turn offload, then you just keep the point of attack alive. And he's so good at that. You know, who was it for the Dragons? Moriarty does the same. When he runs into contact, sometimes he turns, sometimes he's able to offload. He creates a try for Matthew Screech for the Dragons. And there's something to be said about that, about staying tall in contact and not just looking to pump your legs and go to ground. And he's brilliant at it.
Yeah, he really is. And it's his mission not to die with the ball. And I quite like that. It can, you know, it can screw you over. You know, it's like
McCloskey at Ulster is very similar as well.
Yes, yeah.
And you know, sometimes you are going to get held up. Sometimes people are going to wrap the ball up, but it certainly keeps your point of attack moving when you're able to.
It does. It's like, but it's like Carl Sinclair against Quins at the week against Tigers at the weekend, constantly trying to get the ball alive, and we love him for it. But every now and again, it gets picked off, and Carl Eastman picked him off and ran one in. But you can, but you probably shouldn't hammer somebody for that because actually that's what makes him so good.
Atkinson
was great. Reinach was great, but I'm afraid he just wasn't the best scrum half this weekend. He just wasn't.
Tell me
Nick
who
White
was
for Chiefs. White for Chiefs was different gravy, fella. He's hard. He's tactically aware. He's mega fit. He's aggressive. He communicates non-stop.
Yeah, I was going to say you can see the way he was shouting at his pack, just either to keep going the same way or to come back, but just directs him, and that's like. When you come up from a scrum or you come up from rucks, you must be knackered as a forward. And it's just great to be told what you need to do, where you need to go, and then you can just do it. Great pace as well for the try. You know, I don't know whether, who was it, Sean Maitland gives up, but Nick White scuttles across there and, you know, he makes a tackle, I think, on Max Malins, who doesn't quite grab the ball, and then follows it up with some good pace. So, I mean, I thought it was going to be a Saracens victory. I had them down to win. I just thought that they're at the bottom of the Premiership at the moment. Exeter towards the top. I think they might be top now. Northampton weren't they? But I think it was a bit of a... It was certainly the clash of the two biggest teams that we've seen over the last 5-6 years in the Premiership. And... I thought it might mean a bit more to Saracens, just to sort of say, right, we're down the bottom, but we're still the number one team. And with the team they picked as well, it was a
mega,
mega strong team. But had nothing really. I thought Exeter and the breakdown were just far superior. Luke Cowan-Dickey was immense there.
Oh, what a game.
Huge game. They all were, I thought Joe Simmons, what an important tackle that was, and Jamie George, that was a match sort of turning.
What a tackle.
It's huge. But it wasn't just him as well, it was Ollie Woodburn who comes in as well, because if that's just a one-on-one with Joe Simmons, I think that Jamie George is going to wriggle, be able to turn and put the ball down. But you also got Woodburn coming in, all the boys coming in, just make it impossible for George to wriggle and get the ball down. But yeah, such an important part of the game, that, wasn't it? Such a key instance, because that Saracens driving wall was just going forward at a rate of knots.
Yeah.
And right before half-time as well. I think Stuart Hogg has been great for him as well, just injects a lot of pace out wide, was good at the high ball, kicks really well for territory as well.
There's so much power in Hogg, he's so powerful. Yep. Yeah. He's hard work.
Yep.
I thought Chiefs really stood up. I know it's only 14-7, but I thought they were hugely dominant yesterday against Sarries. I really did. And especially the team Sarries picked. I was surprised by that. A couple of things that stood out for me were Nick White, of course, but Will Skelton, even against that Chiefs team that's got so much power in it, he was a man against, he looked like a man against boys. He was just dominating people. And they took him off after, I guess, 50 minutes or so. And as soon as he came off, I was sitting next to Durders, and I was like, why are they taking him off? Like, I know Marrow is the man, but it's like, why? But he is just, but he just dominates. He just hits the, like, he makes ground, and they stopped winning collisions when he went off. They stopped, and there was a few carries at once. I think it was from a line out, a scrum, I can't remember. But Chiefs went one phase, two phase, three phases, maybe four phases, and they got battered on every carry. Yeah. They got absolutely battered. Even Dave Ewers, everyone gets battered sometimes. He got battered. He ran straight into, I think it was him, ran straight into Marrow and Skelton. And it's like, good night, mate. Like, they just got pummeled, and it was, then they had to kick it. And a couple of minutes later, they took off Will Skelton. And I was like, man, he is your power. Like, he is the main guy. But that's just my opinion. That really stood out. But also the set piece Saracens can normally rely on. Vincent Cox subbed off early because Alec Hepburn did a job on him. And Harry Williams, I know he got a red card from the bench towards the end, which is, I haven't seen that before. He piled into the pile up from the bench, so he got a red card.
He piled very in, silly, but without throwing any punches. You know, he just escalated. Of course he did. It didn't make...
No one throws a punch.
No one does.
No. But it was, that was nuts. But other than that, he was excellent, like properly excellent. And he gave Mako a really, really tough day. And Luke Cowan-Dickey as well was mega. Mm. I liked Ollie Devoto's niggle. Mm. He is niggly. He is horrible. You try and, it's a penalty and he's got the ball, or it's your put in, he will throw the ball away and he'll stick digs in and he'll put an elbow in. And at one point he had Marrow, Itoje and Farrell pointing at him saying, "We'll get you." And he looks at him and says, "Do one, lads."
A bit like Dylan Armitage, again, he's niggling in his day. You know, he'd always
not quite as vocal, not quite as abusive, but he's, you know, he's not taunting people. He just loves niggle. He's just a hard bloke.
Like, I watched a lot of rugby over this last couple of weeks, right? And what stands out for me is two referees that just... Now, I'm not being biased on the first one now, because I don't even like the guy. So I say this. I say this and I mean it. It pains me to say it. But Barnsley's communication with players and teams is just incredible. Makes everything just super clear. You know, doesn't mumble his words. And just everyone knows where they stand with him. And also Nigel Owens as well. The games he's reffed. He reffed the Blues and the Dragons, and you know exactly where you are with him. It was really funny, actually. Tomos Williams and Nigel Owens have a spat, and Nigel's trying to tell Tomos Williams that when he's moving the ball from a ruck to the back foot to kick, you can't use your hands because you're lifting the ball. You have to use your feet. And he has to tell him like four times, and Tomos Williams keeps coming back, and Nigel Owens is keep... And anybody and I in comms, we're not speaking. For like a minute and a half, we're not speaking. We're just watching this spat between like a father and a son. It was incredible. But they make the game so easy for players just through their communication. It's the best part of of their skill set they have, and obviously making the right decisions. But
it is, and you know, Barnsley was, outstanding again.
Yeah, you do.
Just he's just brilliant.
And I know you, mate. I hate Barnsley, but there we are.
I know you do. I know you don't like the guy.
No,
it's just his personality and character, isn't it? You're not interested in
address.
Chiefs, but I tell you, my favourite Chiefs player of the day, it probably is Luke Cowan-Dickie, to be honest. You know, he's a favourite of mine. But I thought they call him Big Red down at Chiefs. South African fella, new guy at Chiefs. Yanis Kirsten. He came on at the end and just battered people. Mm. And I said to a couple of guys at the end, a couple of the Chiefs guys, like Park, James Park, you know, fitness coach, I just said to him, that Yanis Kirsten, he said, mate, he just loved smashing his body about. And then Ali Heifer walked past me and a couple of guys, and I grabbed one of the other coaches and said, that Yanis Kirsten. They said, mate, he loves it. He just loves smashing people.
Oh,
and he got Marrow a real goodie. Sat Marrow down. Marrow got taken off. I think it might have been an inch or two high. It might have even been Kirsten's head connected with Marrow's jaw or something like that. But it was like he was banging and clanging when he came on, and he made a big difference.
Do you know a player I wouldn't like to play against? Ian Whitten. If I was
big horse, didn't he? Yeah.
No, just a bit, but just there's no room. You know, he's a big bloke, but he's actually really quick as well. I think deceptively
moves
quick.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, moves yeah. really well. Really good in the breakdown. Solid defence. Runs really hard lines as well. And if you can tackle, that's okay. You know, you're not going to get the trickery you'd get with, say, Henry Slade. You know, he's not going to make you look silly unless you've got poor tackle technique or you're going half-hearted. But just, there's not really much space around him. You know, he makes his tackles. He defends really well, keeps his shoulders square. Just one of those that I reckon when you're up against him, there's not much room there.
Yeah.
And you can't run through him either because he's a big goose.
He's massive. Mm. And Henry Slade's out for a couple of months, the broken ankle. Which is a shame. So it looks like he missed the Six Nations. So Ian Whitten's going to be playing a lot of rugby. And I think you don't, you know, when you see sort of a 3-on-2 on an edge, you think Ian Whitten is, you're not going to get the execution you get with Henry Slade. What you get is... You're right. You shut down opposition outside backs very, very nicely indeed, because he does move well. He's a clever player and he's also a unit, which really helps, doesn't it?
I went down yesterday or the day before. I can't remember what it was. It's Monday now. I think it might have been Saturday to watch. I watched old Penarthians play Llantwit just down the road. Took the kids on the electric scooters and...
Do you reckon you could do a job?
Mate, that was my next point. Yes. Now, I don't think I got a full 80 in me, but who has anymore? Who has?
Who wants it? I don't want it.
For 20 minutes, yeah. But they've got to sort the pitch out. It's too boggy.
Oh, really?
You know, okay, until they get firm surface, I'm not prepared to play. Because,
hey, by the way,
sticky mud.
Yeah, you can't know. He's not good for you. Ben Moon, the Chiefs prop's having a testimonial and he might have a game. And
he wants you to play again.
Someone mentioned to me recently, you fancy 20 minutes. And I said, no, thank you very much. But if you play, I'll think about it.
Well, James Hook's got one as well. He's coming up in June and he's got a game at the Knoll in Neath. And he texted me to see if I'd play.
I just worry about your knee, mate.
Yeah, I know. I said I probably won't play, but...
It's not worth it, you know.
No, it's not at all. But yeah, I mean, unless you're used to playing games, you know, so your body's sort of hardened up a little bit.
Yeah,
you play the vets games. Someone like Kerry Sweeney, you know, because he's a 10. All he's got to do is pass. He doesn't really have to take contact. He's never.
Well,
had
actually, someone knocks you from the side and you do your knee. It's like, but then my shoulders be fine because there's no binding in the scrums. But I can hit with them and stuff. They'll be fine. It's just my Achilles I'd worry about. Your knee, my Achilles. It's not worth it, mate.
No, I don't think so. But I'll go down and support. And
we'll see what the money is. See what the fee is.
Drink copious amounts of shandy responsibly.
Yeah. Yeah, of course you will.
We do have some questions, our kid. Now, it's important that, you know, you give back at Christmas. Christmas is time of giving. So I did tweet out, does anyone have any questions? And if you don't mind, Flats, I can rattle through these for us.
I don't mind.
As I'm rattling through, I'm just trying to find any good ones.
All right, so there's a lot of crap. Yeah.
Well, Cutters wants to know, have you ever been to a Turkish prison?
No. Not yet, no.
No. The only time I'm ever going to go to Turkey is if I want my teeth done and my hair done.
Okay. Oh, right. That is it over there.
Yeah. I've seen
Midnight Express, so I don't want to go.
Gareth Thomas wants to know, does Flats really have enough charisma for the two of you? No.
No. No. Not quite.
No, not quite.
70%. Yeah.
What would be your ideal brekkie?
Oh God. I eat fewer sausages these days, Tommy. My ideal brekkie, your bacon, lovely good bacon, fried eggs, a bit of nice granary toast with butter, baked beans I like, and the next bit you're going to go
browns.
No,
black pudding.
Liver.
Okay.
Liver.
You're
love
right.
It. Yours?
I'd go sourdough bread made by Phil Vickery. I don't know that sultanas in. I just want the natural one.
Okay.
I'd want two pieces of that. I'd probably have scrambled egg, but it has to be a little bit runny. I can't have it like it's dust. You know, there has to be a little bit of moisture in it. I'd have some streaky grilled bacon.
Yeah.
I'd have some little plum tomatoes that have been fried in a pan. So warm and soft.
Lovely.
And a bit of avocado. Okay.
Lovely. Can I add a tin of plum tomatoes to mine, please? Thank you.
You want a tin of plum tomatoes? You don't want...
I like tinned plum tomatoes, yeah.
You and Andrew Nicholson like that. He's one of the best...
Tinned and skinned.
He's one of the best plum tomato eaters I know.
Top five. Okay.
Caroline Next. Mills, would either of you do Strictly? Yeah.
They're not going to ask us. No.
Have you ever had a spray Next. Tan? Yeah, you have.
No, I haven't. Have you?
Nope. Just sometimes people reckon I have, but basically I've just had a really good night's sleep and the colours come back.
God, here we go. He's had loads. I've never had one.
Is there anyone in rugby, Flats, that you don't think is actually a good bloke?
Difficult one.
Yeah.
No, there are a couple, yeah.
Don't name names.
There's a few, in the words of my gran, there's always a few pricks about. But, where does it get anyone to start naming people you think are pricks on a podcast?
Don't do it, mate.
Don't need to.
You've got enough enemies as it is. Duncan Law wants to know, did you watch Gavin and Stacey, Flats?
Yeah, I did.
Do you think Smithy will say yes?
I think he will say yes eventually. And I did have tears in my eyes. What about you, Tommy?
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was a brilliant episode. Really
Uncle Bryn breaks me. He's so funny.
Rob Brydon is incredible.
Oh, so funny. Bryn and cheese. Bryn and chips was that? Bryn and chips. Bryn and chips. Brilliant.
Nathan wants to know, would you rather have pubes for teeth or teeth for pubes?
Teeth for pubes. Still eat then. Can eat twice.
Polly Barnes. Is it the Polly Barnes?
Oh, it's the Polly Barnes. Oh, no.
It is the Polly Barnes.
She's tweeting drunk again.
Fashion guru, Polly Barnes. Will ever be a boy born that can swim faster than the shark? That's from The Office. Love The Office.
No, they won't.
So do I.
There won't be. There's almost no way that'll happen.
Can I kill a tiger armed only with a biro? What's your favourite CrossFit workout? Do you have one?
Yeah, the one I liked the most was when we did, guys, we're going to do 40 minutes of heavy squats building up to a heavy single. And then... We're just going to do something that's really horrible, which is as many push-ups as you can do in 20 minutes.
Ooh.
Yeah, that is absolutely horrible. See, by the end, you can't do, 10 minutes in, you can't do a push-up. You hammer the legs, hammer the push-ups, go home. Good
there
stuff.
Was, I can't remember what it was called, but there was one where you did 5 chins, 10 press-ups, 15 air squats, and you just do as many rounds as possible.
Yeah, and they're good. I like those, yeah.
I did around 21 before. I think it was in a certain amount of time. I can't remember how long. But yeah. Robin Solon Taylor's gym, he wouldn't put it up on the board because I was like third out of everyone and he refused to put it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, Nors?
That's what he's like. He is a Nors.
Yeah. Those ones are good because you and I, like, I don't do as many pull-ups now because my shoulder hurts, but... I've always been really good at pull-ups, but you've been excellent at pull-ups forever.
Stop it.
Whereas push-ups and air squats, anyone can do those for days. Mm. But you can end up getting quite a tidy total on those. And people think because you're heavy, you're not going to be able to do it. But it's like, no, we're going to be all right at this.
Yeah.
But since my shoulder started hurting a bit more, I've stopped doing pull-ups and I weigh 130 kegs.
A lot of it with Robin is jealousy because he owns a gym. He's head of strength and conditioning at the Blues, so trains every day, yet I'm still stronger than him. So
yeah,
yeah,
that'll kill him.
Yeah, it will. It does.
And you're basically a medium functioning alcoholic. Right.
Right, last one. Why have you stopped posting pictures of meat? That's from Thomas McPherson. Just been busy.
I've just been busy. Also, I'm probably just going through a phase of being on social media quite a lot less, just because I, you know, you lose your muse every now and again. But I'm actually going to kick back off, and I've getting the barbecues ready to go next week and get cooking again. So won't be long.
It's not the weather for it either, is it?
I don't mind the weather. It's just there does come a point when I love social media, as you know, but there does come a point where not everything I do I need to take a bloody picture of and show everyone. So it's like I just, you know, I cooked some lovely meat in the last few weeks. I just haven't shown the world, but I will show the world again soon.
I do a little bit of cooking, but, you know, I don't have to chat about it. Whatever.
Don't go on about it.
I'm off to play golf at Southern Down, which is by Bridgend, by Ogmore.
Oh, well done.
Right now. So looking forward to that. It's a links course, so it's quite dry there. And I can have a few Guinness after, I think. So
well done, fella. I'm off to the that sounds like a lovely day for you, and you will love that, and you'll love that more than I would, but I will probably love what I'm doing more than you would. I'm going for a
go-karting?
No. Cold New Year's walk on the beach with the kids in about an hour.
Oh, that's so
it'd be lovely. We're taking our swimming gear.
Writing your names in the sand.
New Year's Day, we go in the sea. We go in the sea, and I'm allowing them wetsuits this year, because last year I didn't allow them to wear wetsuits. No, they said they didn't want to wear wetsuits, rather. But I'm allowing them wetsuits this year. But we're going in, and we don't just go in and out. We go in for a proper swim on New Year's Day, and it will be Baltic, but good stuff.
Yeah. All right, mate.
Well, fella, hey, play well today. Think about your short game, all right? Don't take your oven gloves.
You look after yourself, all right? Again.
All right, fella.
I miss you.
You too, boy. See you, guys.
Right, bye, everyone.
It's all right now.